request, how can you permit the peeling of these things for me to use? What happened to Dosh? It's also permissible. But it's only permissible in a kind of a situation in which it's normally done for immediate use. You need two conditions. It has to be normally done for immediate use, and you are doing it for immediate use. And you get the perfect proof. It says in the Mishnah, in the Masechta Shabbos, we are permitted to crack nuts on Shabbos. You take a nutcracker, you crack nuts. We all do that, don't we? You want to have walnuts on Shabbos, don't you? No? Hello? Walnuts, almonds, no, don't you crack with them? No, am I right? So which is normally done for immediate use. You need two conditions. It has to be normally done for immediate use, and you are doing it for immediate use. And you get the perfect proof. It says in the Mishnah, in Masechta Shabbos, you are permitted to crack nuts on Shabbos. You take a nutcracker, you crack nuts. We all do that, don't we? You want to have walnuts on Shabbos, don't you? No? Hello? Walnuts, almonds, no, don't you crack with them? No, am I right? Everyone knows everything that's awesome. The Mishnah, the Gemara. How do you do that? Have the dosh. That's real dosh. Take a walnut. It's like taking a thresher and banging the meat with the shaft. See, banging the nut with the shell. What are you doing? The answer is, A, it's for immediate use, and B, it's normal to do it for immediate use. As opposed to the following case. Should you decide to take a kernel of wheat and to separate the chaff for immediate use? Yeah, sure, for immediate use, not allowed. Why not allowed? Because the normal way of separating wheat from chaff is to take a big banger, bang it, 1,000 kernels go flying in there, apart from the chaff, and then later on you put it into a silo, and later on you put it, make it, grind it into flour, and then you make it into bread. A month later, it's not for immediate use. Even you have a mishigas. You use it for immediate use, we just ignore you. It has to be normal for immediate use. But if it's normal for immediate use, and you're using it for immediate use, then it is permissible. Okay. This is very important, because there are some who say, there's a whole literature, and I'm giving you the kitzur. There's a whole literature about it. Is there a dispensation of dosh for immediate use? So some say no. And their proof is, you can't squeeze an orange on Shabbos. You don't know about that? Come on, what's what we call that? Skita. Skita is a total of what? Dosh. Skita is a subdivision of dosh. Can I squeeze an orange for immediate use? I'll squeeze it and I'll right away drink the juice. Yes or no? Absolutely not. Chas v'shalom. Question, why not? Well, it's immediate use. That's the question they ask against this opinion. What's the response? No. That's not how you normally do it. Oh, the normal way, how do you make orange juice? You take 10,000 oranges, and you squeeze and you make juice. And you eat it next week. You drink it next week. So that even though you decide to have it for immediate use, it doesn't matter. That's the fundamental rule. It's permissible only if it's done normally for immediate use, and you're doing it for immediate use. You're a minority, but most people don't do it that way. It seems to me, based on this, if I may, I know it's a little bit chutzpah on my part, I'd like to disagree with what the Magen Avraham said. The Magen Avraham was the God of Hador, the Perush on Shulchan Aruch, and what am I going to do? That's why I come to this class to learn interesting things, you know, heretical ideas from the Rebbe against the Magen Avraham. It seems to me that one could argue that peeling vegetables is not under the category of Bor at all. What forced the Magen Avraham into his conclusion that peeling the vegetable is in the category of borer? Because there are more says the distinction between one and what? Immediate use and later use. Where do we foster the distinction? Where is it? By borer. So the Magen Avraham figured, oh, it must be borer, and that's one of the distinction between immediate use and later use. And I claim, no, peeling vegetables is not borer at all. It's only dosh. You may think I'm a sugar, or am I wasting your time? It's borer, it's dosh, it's one of the last ones, which one of the last? Be patient. It's not borer, it's dosh. But even by dosh, when it comes to these kind of garlics and onion, which are normally done for immediate use, and you're doing it for immediate use, then the prohibition does not apply. You'll ask me a question, but why isn't it borer? Why isn't it borer? We never answered that original question before. What's the difference between borer and dosh? What's the difference? I never answered it. Well, let me go back 1,000 years. There's a man named Rabbeinu Hananel, whose works are printed on the side of the Gemara recently. He says that the difference between Bor and Dosh is very simple. Let's go back to the Mishkan. What was the case of Bor and the Mishkan? Pebbles are removed from wheat. Are the pebbles organically connected to the wheat, yes or no? Of course not, they fell in. That's called Bor. If it's an organic connection, and you have the wheat and the chaff, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made them together, and you want to separate them, that's called Dosh. If this definition is correct, then peeling vegetables cannot possibly be Borer, because it's an organic connection. So rather I would assume what? It's considered to be in the category of Dosh. That's my opinion. It's shared, by the way, not only me, but the Orach HaShulchan. The Orach HaShulchan. Now, we said it's not considered to be in the category of Borer. Is it considered to be in the category of Dosh? Well, it's a Rishalmi. Rishalmi, the guy's pounding away at the garlic and it's Chayav Mishum Dosh. Comes the Orach HaShulchan with the following novel approach. You don't probably have learned, the schools don't teach Orach HaShulchan, it's too late. They don't teach, now the schools are only teaching the Chumras. The Orach HaShulchan says that he thinks the only time it's considered to be Dosh, you take, it's like derived from the Mishkan. You have wheat and chair, right? The girls a week. You pound the thresher on 100 of them in one shot. Bang! And this severs the organic connection between the wheat and the chair. That's called Dosh. In the case of the Rishalmi is similar. Who deals with garlic here? Who doesn't deal with garlic in the kitchen? Apparently, when they used to take heads of garlic, little heads of garlic, right? And they wanted a lot of garlic. What did they do? They took 20 garlics, put it in a pot, or whatever, on the table, went bango. Right? They banged on all the 20 garlics, and then the peels went, got separated somehow from the meat, if you will, of the garlic. That's called dosh. That's what it looks like wheat. But, claims Orach HaShulchan, if I will just take one garlic and peel around it, what does it do with dosh? Is a threshing action with pressure, I bang it. That's called dosh. But if you just take a surgical procedure, neatly peel away the outside, that's not called dosh. But what should I have nothing to do with dosh? That's what the Orach HaShulchan says. It's against the Ramah. That's maybe the Ramah didn't mean it, whatever. Ramah only meant that kind of a case. That's already a second chiddush. So we have therefore three opinions as far as peeling vegetables are concerned. The most strict is the Magen Avraham, that's called Borer. The most lenient is the Orach HaShulchan, it's called nothing. Mutter, no problem. Leave it up for later use. And the centrist view, the in-between view is that it's called Dosh. Called Dosh. Okay, that's called Dosh or Gobor. It's called nothing here, we're all excited. Mutter. Once you say it's prohibited, what's the difference if you call it Bor or call it Dosh? Who cares? What's the difference? I'll tell you the difference is right over here. You know, you probably are aware of the fact, you probably taught in yeshivas in schools, that if you want to peel a cucumber or a carrot, those are the two most common examples of this child, that you may not use a peeler. Am I right? You were taught that? You weren't taught that? Everyone was taught that. The egg lay towel. Back to the same egg lay towel. The egg lay towel said that since we can see it goes with the opinion that's considered to be in the category of borer, and as such, if it's borer, you cannot use what we call a kli miyuchad. What's a kli miyuchad? A special utensil which is used for separating. Like what did you learn about this? What's the ultimate prohibition when it comes to borer? Right, strainer. We call it nabo kvara. That's the worst. That's the worst of the worst of the worst. It's highest. So the egg lay towel claims, what's the equivalent of a sieve when it comes to peeling? A peeler. A peeler to a peeling is like a sieve to sifting. So it's a terrible prohibition. You shouldn't use this peeler. So that's the egg lay towel. But had it been only dosh, this is why it's important what the prohibition is. Had it been only dosh, we would say that even though it's a specialized instrument, it would be permissible. Proof, I mentioned before, what do you call it? They were a Tchaikovsky composition. The Nutcracker Sweetened, right? Now we use nutcrackers on Shabbos. You know, nutcrackers are specialized instruments to separate. So you see, you use a nutcracker. So why? It's considered to be dosh. It's not considered to be borer. Eglintal wasn't stupid. He understood the problem against himself. So how could you permit the what? The nutcracker on Shabbos. Forget about dosh. And the nutcracker be prohibited because of what? Do borer. Why do you worry about borer when you crack the nut with the nutcracker? That should also be considered to be borer. Here's an interesting answer. The answer is, if you take a walnut and you finish the cracking process with the nutcracker, guess what? You're still left with what? A mishmash. Right? Even if the outside shell will become detached from whatever's inside, it's still a mishmash. You know what's on the inside? It's not the whole walnut is edible, right? It's what do you call those things? Partitions, which are inedible. So it's all mixed in one. So you're not called Bora because you didn't finish the job. That's what he said. Well, you didn't start the job, or maybe even the outer shell is mixed in. That's what he said. He's right, it's a big problem. And you shouldn't be allowed to peel to do a nutcracker for almonds on Shabbos. If you take an almond and you, the minute you do that, what happens? It's finished. The fruit comes out and the shell is separate. I never heard that in Sukkot Shabbos they didn't use a nutcracker for almonds. I guess they didn't. Well, we should follow from his view. So I thought, on the contrary, here's a simple proof that when we peel things, it's only prohibited as what? It's prohibited as dosh, not as borer. And I'll read another proof. So, when it comes to, listen to me carefully now, when it comes to borer, you need three conditions. What are the three conditions that you need? Do? Ochel mitoch psol, that's biyad biyad, gevalt. If you peel something, what are you taking? You're taking the psolus away. So what's going on over here? So that's not my question. The Shmir Shabbos is that question. The Shmir Shabbos is that question. And he answered. Because it's like this. The Bialofa says, you know why it's okay? Because it's impossible otherwise. There's no alternative. Why no alternative? I can just take, instead of peeling an orange, what can I do? Slice the orange in half. And then take the inside out, like people do that sometimes in fancy weddings, you know, they, not so fancy, the shopper said, they'll take an orange, slice it in half, and then they'll, scoop out the orange, so we're right there to peel an orange, or a banana. People will peel bananas, the shopper, how do you do that? Slice the banana in half, and then sort of scoop out the banana, if possible. See, he doesn't really give an answer. Yes? Very good. A different answer was suggested to the Shmir Shabbos' question. Namely, that even though it's possible, in a sort of somewhat convoluted manner, to reach the fruit without removing the peel from the outside, that's not the normal way to do it. The normal way is to take the peel and then eat it. So maybe you can argue that's considered to be derech hachila, even though it happens to be psolas mitoho, the same way we suggested that it's kind of the pits in the watermelon. It physically is taken with bad, but still maybe labels what we call derech hachila. Maybe. Not bad, not a bad answer. That would answer the question. But he asks another question. Another question is, and this is my major question, how could you consider peeling to be borer? We said before, the most fundamental principle was that borer is limited to a case in which there is a karubis. There was a mixture, the pebble mixed into the wheat. What kind of mixture? The peel's on the outside. Not all mixed into the fruit. The fruit is here and the peel's on the outside. That's not called a mixture. Do you know what he answered? Well, it's true, but it's so closely connected, it's called a mixture. What does that mean? So therefore, my inclination is to assume that peeling is not considered to be in the category of borer, it's considered to be in the category of dosh. And I'll bring you another proof. Rav Moshe finds his atzal asks a kasha. He says, if you're going to tell me that the ugly cow, like all the svarim say and all the girls' schools teach you, and the boys' schools for that matter, that you're not permitted to peel a cucumber with a peeler, why? Because the peeler is considered a specialized instrument. That would be a serious prohibition, like the case of a sifter. He asks Rav Moshe, if that's the case, it should be prohibited to peel a cucumber with a knife. Why? Although a knife is not specialized for peeling, but still the knife certainly assists in the separation, better than your fingernails. So it should be prohibited by rabbinic law. Same as you have in the Gemara when it comes to Borer. You have a funnel. A funnel is not the ideal way of doing Borer, but it is someone who's selecting aid, so it's prohibited by rabbinical law. So here too, that's what Moshe's kasha. I don't understand what his answer is. I have to tell you something which I got an oral testimony from Rav Moshe Feinstein, Lechem Tzadik HaRocha. The Rav Moshe held that it's mutter to peel with a peel. Like me, like I said. But not for my reason. I don't know. I don't understand Rav Moshe's reason. I heard from my predecessor. I'll tell you who I heard it from. In my shul at Riverdale, there used to be a rabbi named Flam from Muncie. Anybody from Muncie? Anybody? Oh, you know Rabbi Flam?
Sure.
So Rabbi Flam told me that he once had, apparently his wife, I guess the Rebbetzin, I heard the story 10 years ago, I think the Rebbetzin used to use a peeler. I actually heard, saw her mother use the peeler. And all of a sudden the kid came home from yeshiva one day, his children, came home one day from yeshiva, what are you doing? I was sitting in that Torah, little Shabbos, so once Rabbi Moshe was a month, they ran to Rabbi Moshe with the peeler and said, Rebbe, I like using it on Shabbos. Rav Moshe said yes. He started screaming, what do you mean? Like a sift, that's a specialized instrument. Rav Moshe said, well, he doesn't consider the peeler to be a specialized instrument. Adkan. The Gadol HaDor said this, we're not going to question it. Especially, because that's the same way as I said, for a different reason. I thought it's permissible to use a peeler, because even though it's a specialized instrument, but it's only dosh, and not borer. When it comes to dosh, even if it's a specialized instrument, it's permissible, as we see, in the case of the nutcracker. Rav Moshe is going with the traditional view, conventional wisdom, considered borer, but he says it's mutter anyway. Why? It's not considered a specialized instrument. And it's mutter with the rabbanim for some reason. We don't even understand why if it's borer it should be permissible with the rabbanim. It should have been also like what you find in sifting in a funnel. The Shabbos gets the same cash. How can you use a knife? How can you use a knife to peel a cucumber? How do you do it? It comes up with an unbelievable chiddush. This chiddush is, oh, we said before that a kli, that a utensil should be avoided. That's only a utensil which is used for long-term use. But if the utensil is used for short-term use, and it's not included in that category called utensils, which the Torah, which the Chazal prohibited. In other words, a sieve, a sifter, is ordinarily used for long-term use. They make it flour, bread, cake, even that kind of a funnel was for long-term use. But a knife, a cucumber, is for short-term use. By the way, not exclusively for short-term use. Knives can be used for other things too. But it's a perfectly normal way to use it for short-term use. If that's the case, if the Shemir Shabbos is correct, if that's the heter for the knife, I want to go one up the Shemir Shabbos. That same exact heter, in my opinion, could be used for a peeler. Now, you are more familiar with the kitchen than I am, probably. I know of three primary uses for the peeler. Three primary vegetables that we use with this peeler that I know about, with the others you'll tell me about. One is carrots. One is cucumbers, and of course it's the bane of all people in the kitchen. How about that? Potatoes. Well, that's it now. What else is it? Those three. Nope. Apples. Oh, that makes it better for me. Thank you. So when it comes to, I didn't even think of apples. We usually have apples without peel. But when it comes to apples and what else? And carrots and cucumbers. You know, there's no further, don't dwell there. I'm cooking. Three mini cubes. So three out of four. Well, you can all get a chuckle potatoes to make a cooler. I don't know how many that is. But still, three out of four uses, it could be three mini cubes. That's what the peeler also fits in this category of the Shemir Shabbos. And therefore should be permissible, even if it is boring. If this is the case, what we're saying now, there's no fundamental distinction between dosh and boring. Rather, when it comes to dosh, the utensil is not designated for later use. The nutcrackers also can be done for immediate use. And for this very reason, even if we consider boring to be permissible, the utensil is used for immediate use. So therefore, in my opinion, for all these reasons, I'm not finished yet. I'm going to try to see, I'm like a lawyer over here. I have to give you five reasons why it's mutter to use the peeler to peel the cucumbers and the carrot, because in the little books you get it to the tosser. He said it's tosser. He said it's tosser. He certainly said B'nai Brak. He certainly said it's tosser. And I'm saying it's mutter, so I have to have a basis for it. So we've had already three reasons why it's mutter, why we said it's mutter. One, because there's no din of borer at all when it comes to peeling. It's only dosh. Dosh, we find that you can even use a specialized instrument. You see from the nutcrackers. Number two, even if it is considered to be borer, when it's used for immediate use, we find a dispensation when it comes even to borer, which could be the way the Shemir Shabbos justifies it with the knife, the cucumber, and would use exactly the same logic to explain the nutcracker. And number three, Rav Moshe, which you don't understand, but he said anyway, and he's the God of Lador, and he's like, I'm just telling you what I'm saying. But the God of Lador said, he doesn't consider that this peeler to be a specialized instrument. So we have some of three reasons to say that it should be permissible. We're not finished yet. Yes? I'm saying now, to do it, it's better to do it, I can't prohibit it completely. I'm sure it would say it's okay for later use, but I would say don't take a chance.
So let's say
we haven't gotten to the definition of immediacy yet. Patient. Okay? You with me so far?
Yeah.
Let me give you some additional reasons why we can permit it. The Shemir Shabbos himself says that when you peel a cucumber, there's no way to separate the peel from the fruit. Impossible. Because you can't peel it exact, kind of like a, you know, an orange. There's always going to be some of the, you know, of the meat, of the, we'll call it the white stuff, right? Of the cucumber coming out. Just, I'll give you a hint. Next time you peel a cucumber, when you put the peel down on the plate, look at the backside. You'll see a significant amount of white, not green. Because if you just use candy, actually, it's not there. It's impossible to be so precise. So the Shemir Shabbos says, he thinks, maybe that should be considered bor okel mitov okel, because you're separating the cucumber from the cucumber, and the cucumber from the peel. Because the peel has a cucumber on it also. So he suggests that might be also a room for leniency. I must tell you, to be honest, you gotta be honest. In this book, Ayel Meshulash, he doesn't like that. He doesn't like it at all. And this, I don't want that. Over here, he says in Perek Yud Bey, Sa'ora says Zayin, he say, why? Why do they need to borrow on your peeled cucumbers? All these things. Don't you always leave a little bit of the, take down a little bit of the cucumber itself? The answer is Zayinu. This doesn't mean anything. It's meaningless. Why is it meaningless? Because since that's the normal way of doing kiluf, you take a little bit along with it, that is in fact called derech haborer. We quote this in the same Ketzos HaShulchan. Who is the Ketzos HaShulchan? That's Rav Avraham Chaim Noah. He was built in Yerushalayim from a generation or two ago. So, but I don't think this is necessarily correct. Shabbos, we're talking about this point. That's machlokes. It could be that there's another reason for leniency. Yes. Oh, very good, very good. The peel of the cucumber is edible. People do it. You know, now it's coming more to style. You go to these fancy weddings, I was just seeing, you go to these smorgasbord, and they have, you know, now you used to be able to get a piece of good fish, chopped liver with the schmaltz, but no more, now there's this health stuff. So they give you the cucumbers, the carrots, you know. So, but more often than not, when they put the cucumbers on the plate, it's with the peel. Did you notice that? With the peel. What a thing. But apparently it's becoming more popular. Seems to me, though, that despite the caterers, most people still don't eat the peel. Am I right? Take a poll. When you have cucumbers, do you take off the peel? Yes. Who takes off the peel? Raise your hand. Here with the peel? Israel's a little more popular. Even in Israel, I think most will take off the peel. I think so. You hear the vote, I think it's a little bit favored. Most will take off the peel. But nevertheless, one can argue that maybe we don't consider it to be a problem since many people eat the peel, even if it's not a majority. Because you see, the beer halacha of the Mishnah Berurah had a major problem. He was trying to justify the minhag of many Jewish people from people who would take the soft bones out of the fish. How do you justify? How can it be that Klal Yisrael is violating the Isra of Borah? By the way, I think he said it or someone else said it. That's the base of the minhag of eating what? That's right. You filth the fish. Why can filth the fish? No bones. Turn them into ground. That's why. We got fresh fish, they're all bones. See the Jewish custom. We think of filth the fish, and we make fun of the filth the fish. Don't you ever make fun of the filth the fish. It's a halakhic fish. There's no problem with Borer. The Shemesh Hashem spoke to that. Borer would not totally Israel, and eat the filth the fish. I said, really? But the Mishnah Berurah, I guess they had regular fish, so how do you justify the soft technique with the soft bones? There's a number of different points. One of them is that some people could eat them. Apparently most people don't, but apparently some people, no problem, swallow it whole. Swallow it whole. Oh. Now here have a very interesting distinction. This is what the Biolava says. If you have external psoles, which comes from the outside, then it's prohibited unless most people will eat it that way. You mentioned last week about the faucet. And this little, you know, this little, what do you call it? Strainers, whatever. You said it's okay, because people eat it with that, no one cares about it. That you require an absolute majority. It's an external psoas. But if it's what we call, if I may use the expression, internal psoas, which comes from the very foods that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made, such as the soft bones and the fish, then, as long as many people eat it that way, even though it's a minority, not so bad. There's grounds to be more lenient. And the same thing, to my mind, applies to the cucumber peel. Even though it's a minority, but it's a significant minority, and Hashem put it there, not human beings. That's another reason to be somewhat lenient. Somewhat lenient. Oh, that's not external. I say external, I mean something which is not, Hashem didn't put it there. Somehow it's coming from the outside. Here, I don't mean in terms of the geography. I mean in terms of the chronology, in terms of the creation. But that's also considered to be a kind of internal, intrinsic, a better word. Intrinsic soul that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put there. And therefore it's grounds to be lenient, as long as a significant minority of people would eat it that way, it's okay. Aside from that, when it came to the soft bones, the Bialach had a different idea. He said it's considered minachot. Minachot. One type. And he says it's one type. It's considered to be what we call tikkun ochel bi'almo. Now, if you or I would say it, it's close enough to curse. The Chavetz Chaim said He created a new category called Tikkun Ochel B'Alma, a mere fixing up of the food, and it was not considered to be the category of Borah. So for all these reasons, it seems to me, there is ground to permit the use of appealing. That's what I think. Again, I know it's a minority. I know it's a minority view. I know it's a view which is not popular in the modern school, the temporary school where they teach all chumras. They quote them, and I can't blame them. So the Rabbi Eilat quotes the chumra, the Shabbos quotes the chumra, and others. But I'm just telling you my opinion. When I grew up in my house, my mother used to use a peeler. And so when I got married to her, I used a peeler. It always bothered me though, because all the Torah said you can't use a peeler. So when I did some research into this field, I came up with a conclusion. I think it really is permissible. Now, famous secret, even the Agrei Kal, who was the one that everybody quotes as being prohibited, is the one who prohibits it. I looked very carefully in the Agrei Kal, very carefully. Agrei Kal seems, when he prohibits it, to be referring to a whole series of onions or garlics. But if it's only one, and you're doing it separately, it's not considered a tarumis. I think even he said it's permissible. So for all these reasons, I think it's okay to use a peeler. You want me more mafia than me? I don't object. But I was trying to justify the minute. I'll take a poll over here. You all come from nice, fine Jewish homes. And how many homes, you know, if you're embarrassed, you don't have to answer. And how many homes do they, I'm sure most people have either cucumber or carrots, Shabbos for lunch. No, but salad, that's very popular. I want an honest opinion. And how many homes do they use those peelers to peel on Shabbos? I mean, my head first. How many homes do they use a knife to peel on Shabbos? What's the rest of you? You don't want to answer. Okay, good. Okay. Of those who answer, the majority are using the peeler. So we have to defend the custom. Binyan Yisrael, Kadosh. That's why I wanted to use all these explanations to explain why people pay. Yes. That's what we call tokhen. We discussed that, what was it? 3 weeks ago, I think. Tokhen. To shred a carrot, you may run into the problem of tokhen. And we discussed 3 weeks ago that some people say that tokhen is permissible for immediate use. That's really a question. That's a question. We discussed it. Not everyone agrees to that. Some say it's okay. If you do it, I can't come out against it. It's for immediate use. But some say it's a problem. Yes? Yeah, but her question was shredding. Shredding is the... Oh, yeah? You don't mean shredding the tiny pieces. You mean shredding it to long slices. Strip is the best word. Strips. I guess that strips would be more lenient because it's not really, it's harder to call that a tochen because it's... I can't agree with that. We can characterize that as something slicing as opposed to dicing or crushing. Yes. Better. It's better. If most people are not mocking, then we don't pull it forward at all. Ochel mitoch ochel b'min echad. Mentioned last week. Ochel mitoch ochel b'min echad is hefta gomer. So most people don't care. If it's that, see, I'm not convinced anymore. I mean, we took a poll before, a different poll. Apparently most people today in America still remove the peel from the cucumber. That's just a minute here. But if that should change 10 years from now, then it'll be stopped. Because it's like an apple. An apple. If I'm not mistaken, I don't have it in front of me, but I think the Shemir Shabbos is permissible to peel an apple. Does he? And the grounds for that dispensation are that most people can eat apple with the peel. If you're an American who not, and you want to take away the peel, so... That's called ochel mitoch ochel b'min echad. It's not called borah at all. So you get anything you want, even a peeler. It's not called borah in the first place. That's how I think he says. Yes.
Why is the knife not considered a
kli also? Knife is a kli, but it's not a kli b'yufa. The knife is a kli, which is used, has many different uses. You can cut your potatoes with a knife. You can cut your whatever else you want to cut. So it's not called specialized for selection. That's why I asked the kasha before. But even if it's not special, there are bonamassers. That's the kasha we had before. So we give the various answers. which we discussed earlier. Any questions? Ask now. And we now come to my next point for the Kamsabore, which is also very important. Very, very important. You probably have learned in your time about the famous, the proverbial fly that falls to the soup. Now, thank God we don't have that happen too often. It can happen in the summer, in the mosquitoes, but it can happen on Sukkot. You have a scat, which is anyway in the green, you would have the green that fall into the. It can happen in the summer, mosquitoes, whatever. Fly fall into the soup, what's the halacha? So the Taz says, to remove the fly is a violation of Borer. What do you have to do? What do you learn? What are you supposed to do? Take some of the soup. I hate their quotes, and then some will think the Taz is absolutely wrong. That's not Borer. That's Kvar Borer. What do you mean Kvar Borer? It's not a Tarubis, right? What does Tarubis mean? A mixture. You said a fly digs into the soup? The fly that never, the dead fly is floating on top of the soup. Never. That's like I said, it mixed into the soup. He's doing a dead man's float. Right? On top of the soup. So that's like I said, a mixture. The Berhated. From the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch. What's the Taz talking about? So the Chazanish came along and said, the Taz is smarter than that. Don't think he's over the dead man's float. The Taz meant a different thing completely. Taz meant that there's a mixture of the soup which is touching the fly and the rest of the soup. Chazanish. So if you're going to remove the fly from the soup directly, you're in violation of Borah for a different reason. Not because of the fly itself which you're removing, because of the little bit of soup which is directly touching the fly, which is of course psalus yuk. You can't eat that soup, that's not a clue. You're separating that from the remainder of the soup. That's a number. So what you do, you take a big spoon, you take out the whole area, so therefore you're taking not only the little bit of soup which is touching the fly, taking a whole spoonful of soup, and that's considered all coming to home. That's how the Chazanish explains Pshat. Very good. What do you see? What do you see from the Chazanish? He says, this is not a real Tarubis over here. Not a mixture of fly soup. They're considered mixed only at one little point. The point where the Chazanish, the point where the soup on the wings, if you will, of the fly, touches the remainder of the soup. That's the critical point. If you separate it at that point, you'll be in violation of the Borer. If you separate it at a different point, right, you take away a whole spoonful of soup, that's permissible. However, it seems for Chazanish, he only permits removing one fly from the soup. It is not considered to be Tarubis. But if it would be an absolute Tarubis, 10 flies in the soup, which is already mixed, that's already a mixture, forgive me. That good thing you already had to suffer, right? I hope you did. So, to get a lot of flies in the soup, then he would say that it is prohibited to remove the fly from the soup, even if you remove a lot of the soup with it. That's what the Chazanish seems to say. However, that's his opinion. But the simple reading of the Taz is not that way. He seems to say that if you take significant amount of soup with the fly, even if there are 10 flies, it's all right. It's still all right. And this has to do, again, with the story of the peeling. What's the connection with the peeling? Those who consider peeling to be an Isra of Borer, even though what? Even though the peel is surrounding the fruit, and not in the middle of the fruit, not mixed in, so too, they would view the fly is considered somehow part of the fly. Something like that. But we hold, like we said before, that It's only one fly. It's not considered tarumis at all. This is a very important dispute. Halacha lemaisa, we paskin, it's permissible to remove the fly with the soup. I would hope that most of that would be presented with the difficulty of having 10 flies in the soup. If you ask me, if 10 of the soup, pour out the whole soup with the fly. It's not worth it. So if it's, I don't want to take a stand on that issue, just pour it out. There's only one, you assume it's Muslim if you do it that way. Now, comes the Ramos, we're learning Hilchos Borah, the Ramos, we go further than that. I'm going to go into some nitty gritty details. We haven't gone through the Sefer, we have to get to some nitty gritty. The Ramos is as follows, listen carefully. Asur Livra Echa Nechaveiro. Afal Pisha Katichos Gidolos, the call Echas Nikaras Bifne Atzma. Wow. Even there are big pieces, and each one is distinguishable, it's still considered to be in the category of Borer. Now we're in major trouble. We said last week, it's big and few, relatively few in number, it's not considered to be in the category of Borer. So how can the Ramah go against us? What's going on here? So if you look at the Bir Halacha, he explains that it's only referring to a case where they're piled one on top of the other. There's a whole pile of one on top of the other. And there are many such people, many such items. The Aruch HaShulchan says there are many items piled on top of the other. Then it's called, it's in the category of glory. But, says Aruch HaShulchan, if there are only four or five piled on top of another, that's not called Borah. He goes further than that, the Rosh Hashanah. Chas v'sholom lo mashezeh Borah. Why? There are mice in b'chol yom. Done all the time. You go into a Shalom Zafar, and you put the coats, they pile the coats on the bed. That's, you know, that's how it is, you know. They don't hang it. Now you hang it. You throw all the coats on the bed, and you... That's called Borah. They pile the coats on the bed. Chas v'sholom, it's done all the time on Shabbos. You can't call that Borah. Why? What's the definition? He said, it's quote, it's an important quotation, that you have to have selection. So he calls be'iyun dak, careful inspection, as opposed to netila bi'alma, a mere lifting up one object, that's not called Borah. As it says, it's nikir harbe le'ein aroe, it's clearly visible and discernible. It's not called Borer. That's why he said when it comes to garments and it comes to utensils, dishes, and books, there's no din of Borer. You didn't learn this when you were in school, I know that. I'm giving you the Aruch HaShulchan, but I think he's right. I don't think anything is considered to be in the category of Borer. But, one second. We can go further than that. What happens if you have many different items, you don't care which one you take out. I'll give you an example. The one article of clothing which may be considered to be borrowed is socks. You know, you have a pile of 25 socks, it's a big number, it's not 5 or 6. And you know, it's all kinds of socks, and this kind of that. So you can argue it might be considered to be borrowed. What happens? I need a pair of socks. I couldn't care less which pair of socks it is. It could be brown, size, black, size, blue, green, what? I close my eyes, and I go, would not be considered the category of borrowed? According to Aruch HaShulchan, absolutely not. Not only did I look carefully, I didn't look at all. I closed my eyes. Often you go, you get the socks in the middle of the night. Oh, I want to keep my socks out. Now the room is dark. And I go into the drawer and I can't see a blast of thing. I pull out a pair of socks. I have no idea if it's blue or it's black. I don't know what it is. How can you call that borrowed? I didn't see it at all. Yeah. If you're putting on the socks right now, you're right. But people have a habit. They want to take out their socks Friday night before they go to sleep. But the next morning, they should have the socks available at bedside, right? So that would be a problem. You're right. If it's for a meeting, it would be okay. Right. So that's what I think. So yeah, this reason it means use. So it means eat. You can't eat the socks.
The whole
in use. Putting a sock on your foot is the same as eating the banana. I mean, forgive me for that coarse analogy, but it's for immediate use. Yes? Sure, it's okay. Well, no problem. That's one minefa, one taka. Either way, to avoid borer, let's say I have a whole bunch of things put together and I have nothing to do. What do you suggest? You know my suggestion is? Basically, Gemara. We're going to look up to Gemara and Shabbos of Ayin Dalet and Aleph. I have a whole bunch. I have, let's say, for example, I have raisins and almonds. They're all mixing together. I only like almonds and not raisins. Shabbos for the Jew. But so then they're all mixing together. What do? They're all mixing together. I have this big dining room table. Perfectly clean. What I'll do is as follows. I'll take the bowl of raisins and almonds. I'll go heave ho. And now you won't look for it. But now they'll be spread all over the table. Now, there's no longer a tarubis. There's a raisin here, and an almond here, and there. They're no longer next to each other. Then I can take what I want. I want only the almonds. I'll just take out the almonds. No problem. So I could have done it for me, again, same provider. For immediate use, I could have done it anyway. But I want to have almonds an hour from now. But I don't want to be bothered an hour from now to be a fancy company that the guests are going to come. They continue playing around. It'll be very embarrassing. I'll lock the door, won't let anybody in, throw them all over the table. Then I'll be able to take the almonds and put them in a separate bowl. And then, so when the guests come, there'll be one bowl of almonds and one bowl of raisins, and I'll just take from the almonds. I used to do it myself every week. The way I used to do was, I would wash it, and while I was washing it, in my hand, I would separate it before putting it down. That was a tarubis. I'd take the two forks, put it in, wash it, and put it down, and then the one... They have three things, right? Forks, knives, and spoons. So I put the forks here, the knives here, and the spoons here, and then it was a tarubis. But let's say somebody didn't realize that they put it all into one big mishmash. And now I want to set the table on Friday night for Shabbos. That's not for me to use. What do I do? Heave ho! it's not called selection. No, you're just taking it all one by one. I guess that might be also good. Right? Okay. Remember we discussed the question of the watermelon pits, right? I don't know. Yes? I was going to say, if I'm not mistaken, if you're picking it up with it to dry it, that's your real intention, and then you put it down separately, that's all right. If you're just trying to pull shtick, and you're picking up to make an excuse just in order to separate it, that would not be okay. I think it's just maybe. It's not called selection. No, you're just taking it all one by one. I guess that might be also good. Maybe. Okay. Remember we discussed the question of the watermelon pits, right? And the book, yes? I was going to say, if I'm not mistaken, if you're picking it up with it to dry it, that's your real intention, and then you put it down separately, that's all right. If you're just trying to pull shtick, and you're picking up to make an excuse just in order to separate it, that would not be okay. I think it's what some of the posts say. I recollect. I haven't seen it recently. We spoke about the issue of the watermelon pits. So we mentioned before, in a dispute, the beer halacha is not sure. He's not sure, is it okay, or is it not okay? He doesn't know? It's called miyad lepeh. Miyad lepeh means right away. Right away. My definition. My definition is that it's impossible otherwise. The same way as those who view peeling as boring say you may do peeling. Because it's impossible otherwise, you can't take the good from the bad. We quibbled with that before. You said you can do it, the slice. But that's how the others say. It's impossible otherwise. There's no other way to do it. There's no other way to do it. It's considered to be derech hakila. That's what I think of the interpretation. That's why it's okay if there's no other way. I think it's not fair. What about grapes? So when it comes to grapes, forgive me now. By the way, I understand that many people, when they have grapes, not seedless, seeded grapes, they would be vertical. See, what they do is, when no one's looking, they eat the grape, and then there's a pit left over, and they do what? They want to cut more, a little bit more polite, they put it down and like. If that's the normal way that he consumes grapes, which I think is, in my opinion, there is no head to take out the seeds on Shabbos. You go and take out the seed and put it down before you eat the grape. But that's because there's an alternative. The alternative is what everyone else does. When it comes to watermelon, it's not so mekubal to do it that way. And therefore, there may be a possible leniency in this regard. Okay? Fine. Now, as I promised you before, we're going to go through this parak a little bit more heavily. This is parak Gimel in the Sefer Shmiras Shabbos Hilchos. Any question you want?
I don't know. I
probably heard that, but they were under the impression that if you have three blouses in a drawer, that's considered to be a tarut. Now, if you hold that way, then they're right. It's not for immediate use. But there are Hashulchan says, Chatz Hashem say that. You do it all the time. You want to be mocked with the way till Shabbos morning? Take out which you want to wait. All right? I'm talking about washing fruits. Washing fruits. It's a big problem. I'm not happy with this washing fruits so much. So I'll read it for the Shemir Shabbos. When I'm unsure ground, I like to read. Okay? Shemir Shabbos says, they have fruits and vegetables which are mixed in with dirt, of which type most people would not eat it with that dirt there. He says, he claims, you're not permitted to wash it on Shabbos. That's what he says. Last week, Rav Moshe was Mekel. Rav Moshe is Mekel. Now again, it's tricky. If this is a little bit dirt, or there's some dust, or chomer risus. What's chomer risus? I think so. I think so. I don't know, I'm not too good in Hebrew. What does risus mean? Yes. Chapter 3, paragraph 21. Look it up when you get home. I think risus means got a pesticide. I don't want to talk to me. Right? He says, okay to pour water over it, but it should be done only just before you eat it. Rabbi is not sure if it'll be done for later use or not. He says, some say it's okay. You know what they compare it to? They compare it to washing dishes. A lot of wash dishes for later use. I'll ask you a question. Will you wash the dish on Friday night to eat on Shabbos morning? Yes or no? Of course, we all do it. So what's the difference between washing dishes and washing apples? It's not called boris. It's just goes through my eyes not even before. It's not a tarubis. It's on the outside of the fruit. It's not called tarubis. That's what I think. That's what I think. So he says, well, maybe it's different. You can't compare fruits to dishes. It's all pilpul. I thought I might be right. Because I told you last time, it seems to me that it may be a problem if you're going to have many small fruits which you want to put into a bowl, like you have blueberries and things of this nature. That to me is a big problem. It's harder to compare that. It's harder to compare that to washing dishes. There's a lot of small items and they mix them together. That to me is a bit of a problem, although I think it can be made there also. I think the grounds for that is that the blueberries that we have, there's no dirt blueberries. Is there?
Yeah,
there is. I'll tell you what, let's look up, since it's a big dispute over here, let's look up the blueberries. See if we can find blueberries. Blue for blueberries. Let's look up blueberries. Blueberries did not make it into the index. Sorry. Even berries didn't make it into the index. Let's see if we can find out. I'm going to find this again. Hold on. That's another temptation. Common problems of boulder. Here we go. Context. How can that happen? Wait a minute, I'll look up fruit. Kashing. Here we go. Here we go, I think I found it. Kashing fruit and vegetables. Okay? One may not place a fruit with solas on it into water in order to separate them. It is the solas, we discussed this last week, right? To fall below the sand or float to the surface. If it's straw, this is considered to be a form of borer. As the Shulchan Aruch says, it's considered to be in the category of borer. His example is soaking potatoes to remove the earth from them. However, if the food is edible to most people without washing, it's okay. Example, washing off apples or grapes for sanitary health purposes is permissible. Yeah, but he pulled a fast one here, man. He didn't get berries.
He also said soaking.
Right. He didn't distinguish between washing and soaking. I'm curious. I don't know. Oh, we don't discuss it. So. No? I don't understand. That's strawberries. They're pretty clean, huh?
Sand?
Strawberries? Sand? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but we usually forget to do it for some. Yes? And both. So all the bugs are not only come out of pizza. We like romaine lettuce because there's more bugs. Okay, I think we talked about that. Now, the truth of the matter is. Hold on. Planting leaves of cabbage and lettuce. That's a little bit more, right? Page 176. He brought about inferior leaves, superior leaves. Maybe he just left it over here. Maybe we'll get to it. I don't see it yet. You don't for sure they're a bug. You're right. You wash it. It's no bug. We assume that most lettuce we assume we hope have no bugs. Yes? Washing it? Why not? We're going to wash lettuce. This counts as dirt. What's going on over here? I don't know what's going on. The whole lettuce is clean. You wash it, you know, like you wash an apple, you know what I mean? That's dirty? Not romaine lettuce. Iceberg lettuce. Dirty? You buy lettuce in the store, it's dirty? How is it dirty? So get rid of the apple, just get rid of them. I'm not going to do it. I don't know. I'm looking for these books. I haven't seen it yet. It's okay, you should always buy vegetables, the grade A. Buy grade A vegetables, we have to assume that there's no bugs in it. The lettuce, for example. You're going to check it to make sure. Oh, hold on. Here we go. You're allowed to remove the bad leaves from the outside leaves of the lettuce. You're allowed to check the leaves of lettuce to make sure there are no bugs. That's what he says. If you find a bug, you can remove it because the bug is freestanding. It's not considered to be borer. All this is found in the Shemir Shabbos Lechasa, Sif Lamin Bo. He says, but you may not soak the or rinse the lettuce with vinegar. Why not? But that's how that kills the bugs and removes them. That's already just a question of borer. But you use water, because you're killing it, he says. Killing the bugs. Wow. If you use water, he assumes it's okay. Okay. What about the pits of a cantaloupe? You said the person may remove the pits from a cantaloupe because you can't remove the cantaloupe from the pits. Yeah, and it get up, it's on top. So it's okay. Okay, this is important. This is an important case. You have noodles, and the noodles are in water, and you want to, what's the right word to use?
Strain it.
Is that the right word to use? Get rid of the water and you want to have the noodles. Says the Shmirah Shabbos, it's not allowed. Nor may you use what he called a slatted spoon. That's what he says. Yeah. Oh, I almost forgot this one. What do you do with a salt shaker that has rice in it? Oh, you do put rice. You have rice in your salt shaker, and when you shake it out, guess what? That top cover keeps in the rice, which is thicker, and lets out the salt, which is thinner. Here anyway. Why? Why should we put this? It should be awesome, right? What have we said until now? He says, better not to do it. Better not to do it. But he doesn't say, maybe it should be permissible on the following ground, which we mentioned a little bit earlier. He makes reference back to an earlier footnote in which from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach Shlita is quoted as saying that something which is used for immediate use is okay. We mentioned it before. So here, the salt shakers for immediate use. So he doesn't take a stand. He's sort of wishy-washy in this. He's putting salt in the chicken. So at that very moment, he's shaking out the salt. The rice is left behind. But it's for immediate use, and it's permissible. So he doesn't take a firm stand. Yes? A picture of water with ice. Should we consider that be a problem? I don't think so. Water ice probably wants to be made. Also, I can see it's all coming. Oh, but if you don't want the ice, if the type that you don't want, consider solar's been discussed before. leaving a lot of the offal behind. That's true. Glass would not be a problem. Maybe. Maybe. It's not really a pyruvus. You can see the ice flowing in the juice. It's not really I mentioned before about the fly and the fly in the soup, we said, is why the problem, because the soup on the fly is pussy. It's inedible. You don't say that the juice on the ice is inedible. For the whole logic of the fly, I think it's okay with the kind of ice. Yes? Well, it's going to go out. You look it up. I don't know what it says in the Svarim. It seems to be it could be a problem. Now, we did not discuss yet what's considered immediate use. We keep stalling. So now we have to, the game is up. What's called immediate use? Yes? It's letting out the salt and keeping it in the rice. Letting out the salt and keeping it in the rice. Problem?
Okay.
What is called immediate use? Major dispute. So, many say that immediate use is not the next minute, but it should be just before the meal. Just before the meal. Fine, just before the meal? 10 minutes? An hour? Here's again a dispute. Some say it's like just a few minutes before. The Ramah's expression, Achai Yetzir Beis HaKnesses. People left shul right after they finished having musaf. They're coming home. It's already considered to be for immediate use. We should try as best we can, whenever we're relying on the heter of immediate use, to be as close as we can, as close as possible, to the meal. Because you have to, I don't know, do an act of borer, whatever it may be. Assuming it's considered peeling to be borer, for argument's sake. Just to peel 50 cucumbers. A lot of people are coming. You can wait till they walk into the door, there's going to be a panic. You don't know what to do. You run ahead. It takes an hour to peel 50. Let's put there an hour before also. It's all considered to be some of the suda. It's considered to be just before the meal begins. Is that clear? It's very important to know that. You have to be very careful about it. One topic I want to cover in a few minutes. I know it's very briefly. It's squeezing. Because we spoke about borer and we spoke about dosh. So what's left over is just the issue, we don't do dosh today. Who does dosh? What we do very commonly is squeezing fruits. Squeezing fruits, we said before that, not allowed, simple, okay, not allowed. But are there any exceptions? No. It's permissible, but we do what we call schita, what we call the toch ochel, into a solid food. What a remarkable thing. What a din, unbelievable. Let's explain to what it's based upon. Schita, the prohibition of schita is when you take a food, if you convert it halakhically into a drink. Has to be considered halakhically a drink. If it's not considered halakhically a drink, then it is not a prohibition. Like slicing a fruit, you slice a fruit, it's okay. If you convert it into a drink, it's like a new thing which came about, then it is prohibited. And the halacha states an amazing halacha called mashka avodot of ochel ki ochel. If you squeeze a into a salad, it's halachically treated as a salad from the very beginning. You know, so if you ask a physicist, he'll tell you it's liquid. Yes, the rabbi, I'll tell you what's solid. Yes? Orange. And you squeeze the orange into an empty utensil.
No, let's
say
you squeeze the orange.
Orange. Lemon onto an orange. Orange is considered to be a salad. Squeeze a lemon onto fish, the folks would say. That's a common case. Common case. All right? Only permissible if the juice is needed to approve the food. Are those who say that it's permissible to squeeze a lemon onto sugar and then later put the sugar into the tea? Some say it's not allowed either. Why? We all know why you're squeezing the lemon onto the sugar. You don't care about the sugar. Lemony sugar. What you really want is you want lemony tea. So the sugar is just a weigh station. And there are some authorities who don't like this. Is it a dispute? I'm not taking a stand on this dispute. Some say yes, some say no. The best thing is to get lemon juice.
Yes, you just take the lemon in the
tea without squeezing it is permissible. It's permissible because you're not squeezing it at all. What about eating a grapefruit or an orange that has been sliced and then... There's a problem. Because when you eat it, you want it, but to eat the loose pieces, okay, but then there's that stuff that's... how to describe it exactly. That's stuck to the walls. And you want to squeeze it out. You want to eat it. So it depends how you eat it. I don't know if I can follow my hand motion. To do it this way is not allowed. So then you're just squeezing down, and the juice is being squeezed. To do it this way is okay. This is called scraping. You're scraping the walls of the grapefruit, even though incidentally a small amount may be actually squeezed. That's what you're trying to do. You're just trying to squeeze it out this way. You're trying to scrape it all out, not to squeeze it to make it into juice. That's why it's considered to be permissible. This is the halakha of squeezing foods, yes?
Is this in Shulchan
Aruch? I wouldn't make it up.
No.
Shulchan Aruch is, I'll tell you where it is. It's in Simon Shin Chav, Siv Dalet. 320-4. Yes? If you're doing it this way. If you're doing it this way, you're actually squeezing it out. And I guess... Hey, let's see. This is a grapefruit. The half a grapefruit you have in here. So you take, you eat, it's fine. There's a little bit on the outside. So you go like this and squeeze your spoon down against the peel. So that's really squeezing. That's not allowed. If you go like this, everyone follow me? You're scraping against the wall. You want to get the thing off, detach it from the wall, and eat it, that way. That's okay. It may lead to some squeezing, but that's not what your intention is, and it may not happen, and so that's why we assume it's all right. See, it's important to have visual aids. Yes? Oh, that's a different story. We are not going to discuss sponges at all tonight for two reasons. One is to get late. And number two, because squeezing sponges is different than squeezing fruit. Squeezing is prohibited, the general word squeezing, for two reasons. One, when it comes to fruit, as a told of dosh, we are learning. And number two, as a told of melabeh, laundering. We're not up to laundering, not at all. We have completed, at least for our purposes, believe it or not, the first 11 melabes. How do we do that? We skipped half of them. Our students, don't yeshiva know. The best way to cover ground is to skip. there are some other things which relate indirectly, to these malachas. But I'd rather postpone the discussion of that until a little later. Okay? So we are basically completed these malachas. And Mr. Shenahanko, which we have to the end of the year, not so many, no? Let's figure it out. What? Really? No, what do you say? Oh, 5. 3. What's next Tuesday's day? 20. 20, 27, 3rd. 10th is already. So? Oh, almost 3 weeks to go. Whoa. I have to rethink my prayer. Okay, we'll, okay. Good to see you next week. Okay, what's the building? A person may break a barrel on Shabbos in order to get the food inside, providing that he does not intend to make it clean. That's the mission. Says Rashi, what do we mean to make it clean? To make a pretty opening. The nok v'yocha v'pesach noah. To make a special kind of opening. The Gemara restricts the mission to a case of what they call mustaki. Mustaki is spelled mem vav sama tav kuf yud. Mustaki is, as Rashi explains, a barrel that was broken, and the broken pieces were sort of stuck together with some kind of glue. And because it's so schwach, so weak, person really can't do much about it. We're not afraid that he's going to make a kli out of it. We're not afraid that he's going to take the, when he breaks it, he's going to somehow try to reshape it to a new kli. So weak to begin with, when he breaks it to get the food out, we'll just chuck it. So then what's permissible to open. Otherwise, a regular starve the kli, a very strong kli, we're afraid that if he breaks it, he's going to, if he takes things out of it, breaks it to get the food, he's going to start shaping it, playing with it, and making a kind of a kli, and therefore they prohibited prohibited opening it. This is what it says in the Gemara. Therefore, it seems clear from the Gemara that the reason why you can't open a chavis, a barrel, or any other kind of receptacle in order to get the food is not so much because you're going to break it. No. The breaking itself is not, apparently, is not constituted a malach. A prohibition for whatever reason. The simple reading of the Gemara is the reason why you cannot break the barrel to get its contents is because we're afraid that Tzeira, you may play with it and reshape it, and that way then there'll be a second act which will be prohibited. But the breaking itself is not prohibited. That's a simple reading of the Gemara. The problem is that Tosfos in one place says that there exists a prohibition which we know as is known as stira. The opposite. Let's get it straight. The two malachs out of 39. Bo'ane, which is to build, and Sosa, which is to destroy. So the simple reading of the Gemara is that the prohibition of opening a barrel to get at its contents is because we're afraid that you may subsequently play around with the broken pieces, somehow put them together, or make some kind of fancy opening, and in this way, you will be in violation subsequently of the violation of the Ether of Bona. That's the simple reading of the Gemara. The contrast is one opinion which maintains that if you break a kli, there's a prohibition known as Soser, as destruction. Bona and Soser are, in fact, two of the 39 categories of work which are recounted in the Mishnah of the Seventh Shabbos. This question is raised not by me. It's not my own question against Tosfos. I didn't raise it. The Rashba raised it 700 years ago. More. That was many, many years ago. He asked this question. How can 700 years ago? How can Tosfos say it? Oh, this is a violation of Soser. Really, the Gemara part is a violation of Bona. So, the Shulchan Aruch says, and here we're getting down to some practical stuff. All this background is not just to amuse you. It's critical to get to when it comes to the halacha l'maisa. Shulchan Aruch says that starts off ein binyan ustira bekelim. That's it. Ein binyan ustira bekelim. There is a bona and sosra of violations of the Torah. That's when you build a house. You knock down a house. That's like they did in the Mishkan. They built the Mishkan and knocked down the Mishkan. But when it comes to kelim, to called cans, there's no violation of bona and soser. Nevertheless, compared to a case as a Shulchan Aruch of Chavis, she nishvura v'divek shvorel v'zepes, tar or resin, what the Gemara calls mustaki. Then you can open it up and take what you please, as long as you do not attempt to make what the Shulchan Aruch calls a nekev yofeh. As we described earlier, if you make a pretty hole, special shape, that itself is a prohibition. But just to review, if the kli, the straw kli, were afraid, the rabbis were afraid you would make a special kind of an opening, and then they prohibit it from opening in the first place. You make a pretty open. If it's a weak kli, we're not afraid you're going to do it. The Shulchan Aruch had a statement explicitly that you're not allowed to do it. Otherwise, the person wouldn't realize they might do it. DMK, but if you will in fact make a very nice specialized kind of an opening, Havalei Misakein Mona. What does Misakein Mona literally mean? You're fixing a kli. You're fixing a kli. If therefore it's a regular, normal kli, not held together with some glue, then you may not break it, even if you're not going to make it a kli. It's prohibited anyway. Why? I'll tell you what I would think, and I'll tell you what the Mishnah Berurah says. I would think it's prohibited because we're afraid you're going to make it kli, as we just explained so beautifully. Well, the Mishnah Berurah says, also the Shavra, mitam stira. Stira, what does stira mean? Destruction of the kli. And even though it's not a Torah prohibition, Kalkel, not Amanas Livnos, the whole story, but prohibited by rabbinical law. So writes the Mishnah Berurah, shot in the Shulchan Aruch. Then he goes to build the goal and says, no, aim, steer, and bekalim, forget it. So the build the goal is right. The build the goal is quotes the Gemara. The build the goal says that the reason why you can't open up a regular Kli on Shabbos to get in its context is because you may make a specialized opening, the Gemara says. For some reason unknown to us, the Mishnah Berurah, in his first opinion, quotes that the prohibition is stira. Let's review briefly. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says you're allowed to open the utensil as long as you don't try to make a kli. Rashi means you don't try to make a nice open. The Gemara limits the permissibility to a case of mustaki, which is held together by glue, it's a weak kli. Not afraid you're going to do anything. The simple reading of that is that the breaking itself is not an intrinsic prohibition of stira. It's only prohibited unless you come to fix, make something nice, which is called donut. And that's what the Vilna Gaon says. But the Mishnah Berurah, presumably based upon Tosafot, which we don't fully understand how they get out of the Gemara, has a different approach. It's prohibited because of stira. You can't break the kli. Okay, so then what is it? These are the background information. Background information. Now, what did the Mishnah Berurah base himself on? I asked you before. Why should he suddenly go out on the limb and say it's prohibited because of stira? You just learned before that it seems not to be prohibited because of the stira. Well, the Shulchan Aruch says later on, in the same Siman Shin Yudalin, Sin Zion, the Mishnah Berurah Machaber said, the Shulchan Aruch says like this, says not permitted to break certain things. The Bekalim Nami Shaya Binyan Gomer Ustira Gemura. Although there's no binyan, there are certain cases in which there is a concept of Stira Bekalim. Quoted in Shulchan Aruch and Sif Zayin, so presumably felt compelled back in Sif Aleph to explain the Shulchan Aruch's opinion based upon the prohibition of stira, as opposed to the Vilna Gaon, which is based upon both. So let's again review. It's prohibited. Finished. The Gemara says the only time it's permissible to open up a utensil, a can, a barrel, when the barrel is weak, it's just held together with glue. Not else can lose rules of the Gemara, it's not permitted to be opened up on Shabbos. Why not? So the Gemara seems to say that we're afraid we're going to make a nice opening. This seems to apply the prohibition of the bonnet. What do you mean bonnet? You are going to subsequently be bonnet. But the breaking itself shouldn't be a problem for whatever reason. Simple reading of the Gemara. That's what the Vilna Gaon seems to say. However, the Mishnah Berurah follows the opinion of Tosafos that there is an intrinsic prohibition of breaking it. The Gemara have to answer one way or the other. And Presumably what compelled him to do so was that the Shulchan Aruch says later in Siv Zayin that there exists an Easter of steer of the candle under certain circumstances. Fine. But you may ask the question, why are we spending so much time on this? Usually I don't spend time on the theoretics, as you know by now. It's a practical class. But as you've also known by now, just telling some of the Talmidim done over supper, that vacuum pack will spoil as you leave it in the can for a year. My son in Israel, we just sent the back can to tuna fish. Everyone knows about these things. So how can we send it? It won't get spoiled because it's in a can. Imagine a piece of tuna fish in a plastic bag or whatever, then we'll do it. It wouldn't go. It's probably stuck at the border. It's illegal, probably. Okay. Oh. So now, everyone has it so far, let's review briefly and keep reviewing these matters. The dispute, is it bona or is it soser? Simple pshat is only considered to be, it's not called, there is no prohibition of soser. It's prohibited, but you may have to do bona subsequently. What people are fighting about. I mean, I don't know. This said that.